Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
Hi folks, welcome to the latest episode of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. This is Tino and this week I'm joined by James Miff and Joe as we cover all things Celtic. Joe, first time on the show for a while, so I'll come to you first. What are you saying about all things Celtic?
Good evening guys, glad to be back in the show. I'm a lot more positive than I was last time on the show. As I was saying to you earlier on, I think the last time I was on was post Kilmarnock at Rugby Park. I've pretty much done the full...
What one? First one or second one?
Oh,
first
one. Geez. Second one. When I think we'd lost two games in a row, or it was just horrible. But yeah, feeling a lot better now, a lot more positive, but things definitely on the up. And, you know, January transfer window still open, so still a lot of things can happen the next week and a bit.
I know the answer, but did you brave it for the Bucky Thistle game?
Oh, no.
No.
Not interested.
What did you think of the performance?
It's hard to look overly into games like that because, you know, you're expecting to win and, you know, you're going to be disappointed regardless, like, if you win, lose or draw, because obviously if we win, it's fine, but at the end of the day, I mean, everyone will have something to pick holes in. But it was, you know, we won, that's the main thing.
It is. Do you know, I'm getting a funny look off Miff, so I'm going to come in.
What's going on here?
What's up with you?
Why would you not go to the game? Because it was windy.
I didn't go to the game.
Got a young team? Because is it the Oak?
I don't know where Joe goes.
Where'd you go, Joe? To the
off nowhere.
Turnstiles.
Nowhere. Well,
Springfield. Oh, Springfield rough. No, get yourself out there. Young man. Represent the young team. Or Joe.
I know.
Were you there with the young fellas yesterday?
Yes, I was.
How did you enjoy the atmosphere?
That was decent, aye, but I didn't enjoy leaving at the end because it was absolutely wild. Well, I mean wild. And you could see, I was in the upper, not on the lower, but I was in the upper yesterday just by the time I bought the tickets and stuff like that. And the wind was proper swirl, like filthy conditions, but it was good. I enjoyed it. You know, I thought Bucky, you always venture into being patronising and condescending when you're talking about teams, but for a lower league team, part-timers to come and play the way they did, I thought they were fantastic.
Do you know what I loved on Twitter today, and I wish I'd taken a note of the person's name to give them credit for this, but you'll have seen the quote that Brendan Rodgers went into the dressing room after the game. So someone, I think it was Seltzer here, put the quote out from Graham, who's the manager of Bucky?
Graham Stewart.
Aye. So Graham Stewart was quoted as saying something like, Brendan Rodgers and Celtic were first class. He came in after the game, told us what a great job we'd done, and you know, keep the heads up and keep working away, and that, you know, we'll not be far away if we keep playing like that, blah, blah, blah. Someone's doctored it and changed that to a quote from Philip Clement saying, after the game, he came in and told us, so keep doing what you're doing, you're a plucky young team and all that stuff.
Yeah. I seen so many retweets, it was like, oh, he definitely went in there to show off his belt. He's got a good
chip.
James, your own take on the Bucky game. Obviously, we've done a post-match myself and Assam, so we're getting more detail there, but just your headlines from that one.
Yeah, it was just important, you know, from the pre-match we did, Roger's talk was all about getting back into sync and back into formation. For the league campaign ahead, and that was it. That was the team he put out. Really strong starting team. They went about their business very professionally. They respected the opponent, but they played a lot of lovely football. And you saw them just clicking back into place where they'd left off. My fear is when you have a break like that, it can take a bit of time to get back up to speed, but it took them no time at all. Probably the perfect game if you're honest about it. You're at home, you've got a lower league opposition, you've got a strong team starting, and you've got youth playing in the second half as well. So it was pretty much a perfect result for Celtic, Colin.
Yeah, it was a good game to come back to, and you could argue that Saturday coming against Ross County in the league, Miff, is a further decent game as Celtic look to get back up to speed. But the main thing was keeping the momentum going. So we spoke quite a lot about the fact that Celtic, up until the Rangers game, hadn't strung three wins together at any point all season. We're now 5 for 5, my 5 wins on the bounce, and generally speaking, we're in a pretty good place.
Yeah, and it's the type of run you kind of need to go on if you want to. I know it was a cup game, but if you want to put the league to bed, you need to go on that sort of 10-game winning run and really, really crank up the pressure. But yeah, sometimes these games can be turgid. I think referenced previous cup ties in last week's episode that have been against lower league opposition and not been very big scores, whereas yesterday, even though it was 5... it could have been 15. Such was the dominance and the regular creation of chances for the team. So no, I thought it was good atmosphere, and Bucky fans created a great atmosphere as well. And I thought both teams came away with some credit.
Yeah, I think everyone played their part during the day, just in making it the cup tie it was. Last point in the Bucky Thistle game was the fellas at Josh Peters, the number 9. He went through on goal at 2-0 to Celtic, and Joe Hart's made that big save. And credit to Joe Hart, because he spent his day doing nothing, you know, short sleeves on and all. And can't have been a great day for him, just generally speaking, but he stood up when he had to. But that boy will be replaying that chance potentially for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I think his pals will be replaying that to him for the rest of his life. But, you know, I mean, what a moment that would have
took
been
it
for
so
him.
Well. Yeah, he got his feet properly, you know, he done all the hard stuff, to use a cliche, and he just, you know, he's up against a, you know, former England number one goalie, so.
Is the run as well? I mean, I've not watched the back a lot since, but I mean, he runs to the halfway line. At times he's run perfectly. I mean, with the world VAR as well, It wasn't as if they blew too early and it was unlucky. Like, I mean, it was all he had to do was beat Joe Hart. But
I've got more questions for Scales than for Peters.
Joe Hart continues to defy the doubters, James. No new goalie required here. Okay, we'll get into various other things as we move forward. But before we do, just a quick bit of housekeeping. So if you listen to the Celtic Exchange in podcast format on Apple or Spotify, then be sure to follow the show there to ensure you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And while you're there, please leave a short 5-star review. Or if you watch the show on YouTube, then simply like this episode and subscribe to the channel if you aren't doing so already. These small things will take you just a few minutes but make a big difference to what we do. Finally, if you love what we do but can't be bothered by the adverts, then you can pay a small monthly fee, which allows you to enjoy everything we put out completely ad-free. Links on how to do so, either in podcast format or on YouTube, can be found in the show notes for this episode. Miff, the main topic for today is about your main man, Brendan Rodgers. I'm sure you'll be delighted. Generally speaking, we're going to take a look at how the return's going. So he's been here now 7 months or so. It was confirmed on the 19th of June last year that he was coming back. A very mixed response, I think it's fair to say, from Celtic fans across the globe. And I think, I know I can speak for myself and James, quite pleased at the return. I'll get your own take on it, Joe. But Miff, you're quite outspoken. So generally speaking, before we get into this, what do you think of Brendan Rodgers' return so far?
Excuse me. What do I think of Brendan's return? I think it's been a mixed bag, and I still don't think he's been backed. So I still think it's quite harsh to judge him. Some of the transfer dealings are still a bit bewildering to me, and we're still living through that just now, I think it's fair to say. So whilst the product on the park, for want of a better word, has improved, you mentioned that 5-game winning sequence, that's always welcome. Can we truly turn around and say it's his squad? I don't think we can really yet, which in itself is quite baffling. Activity in January has been minimal. And even the rumour mill's been focused on 2, maybe 3 players maximum. It's not like there's been various different links. Still a lot of people in the door as well, which I think is quite strange. I thought we'd have been working really hard to get people out. So I think that's intrinsically linked with Rodgers. Whilst you could just go and judge him and say there's been some good, there's been some bad on the pitch, until you feel like it's his squad, you still feel he's kind of working. You know, he's just trying to make the best of what he's got rather than maximising a squad of his players.
So reading between the lines, you're delighted that he's back, is that where you're at?
No, not necessarily, no. Wouldn't it be my choice, but he is back, and I'll back him while he's there. But, you know, at times the football this season has been really, really turgid, and I don't think anybody can sit here and say otherwise.
Joe, where are you at yourself? I can't quite recall your response at the time, so how do you feel, or how did you feel about when he came in, and how do you feel now?
Well, I done the full circle, as in I was annoyed when he left, and all the usual, you know, left in February, you know, the league hadn't been won yet, you're going to Leicester, all that. At that moment in time, I didn't really see anybody else who would come in that was a better alternative. I mean, we didn't think that with Ange, but Ange, it seems to be, was a bit of an anomaly. Like, you're not going to get an Ange Postecoglou, like, come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, in 3-4 years later, after joining his Premier League, English Premier League quality. I'm with Miff in the sense that I don't think he's been backed still. I don't think it seems as if he's been given the assurances that he had when he took the job at first. I think his party line was always, you know, it's different now compared to what it was. I'm going to have more of a say in the players, yet they still seem to be very Celtic-like signings in the past. I mean, the project word's been thrown about quite a lot and everywhere, but I think only time will tell. I mean, I'm also surprised that there's as many guys in the door. I thought there'd be a lot more exits this winter. So I think there's an element of trying to balance the squad up. You know, I think there will be a case of when you see more guys go out before they come in. January's a tricky window now, though. And I think you're looking beyond the greater landscape of football, that how many deals are really done in January these days that aren't a loan with option to buy, and financial fair play is now a big thing. So it might not be as simple as that. But, you know, it's definitely the right... I'm glad he's here now, and I think he's definitely the right man.
Yeah, James, do you think it's hard to judge Rodgers just based on what Miff and Joe are saying about the fact that it isn't really his squad at this moment in time, is it? He came into a bloated squad. He then inherited, what, 8-9 guys in the summer with a lot of question marks around some of them. And we've now obviously just brought in Nicholas Kuhn, and would like to think there might be one or two others between now and next week. But what's your general take, you know, squad aside, in terms of what he's had to do, you know, the fixtures he's had to face, the challenges he's faced, how do you think he's performed overall?
Probably sitting like a 7.5 out of 10, something like that. You know, he'll know himself there's slips there that he and the squad could have done better, you know, both in Europe and league slip-ups as well, you know, the Kilmarnock Hearts debacles. But he is working with a squad that isn't as he would like it to be, both in terms of there's guys in there that, if Rodgers had the magic wand and the purse strings, they wouldn't be playing for Celtic, as simple as that. You know, I'm looking at the transfer windows now, this being the second of two so far. I think the power was all with the recruitment team in the summer, and I think that swung across to Rodgers now, because he said, right, on you go, there's your rope, see what you do with it. And they made an absolute mess of it. You know, at best, you've got a 5 out of 10 transfer window in the summer there. Some guys might come good, but it's all well and good saying, you know, there's Bernardo coming good now, and, you know, other players and this and the next thing. You're out of Europe by that stage, so not good enough for Celtic.
Yeah.
So now Rodgers has said, okay, I gave you your shot, you took it, you missed, it's my shot now. So he's in control, and he's saying, I'm not having guys coming in for the sake of it, it's got to be quality. And this is where it really hits the brick wall of Celtic, because we can get quality, we can afford it, we just won't pay for it. So if we went out and spent money on a left back and a striker today, we can both afford it, and Rodgers would be able to judge the level of quality that would be coming in. So we can achieve everything we want to achieve, we just don't want to. That's Celtic's way at the moment. So Rodgers himself, yeah, I'm more than happy with what he's doing. And if you let him go, if you let him work, then you'll do the job. Look at the two Rangers games.
Let him cook, Joe. That's what the young folks say, isn't
it? Absolutely.
Let him cook.
Funny young team.
James, just to pick up on a couple of things you've said there. So Brendan Rodgers was quoted last week as saying, we could easily have brought bodies in for body's sake at the start of the window there in January, but he's not willing to do that. He wants to wait for quality. Do you feel he's hiding behind an excuse? You know, I think I accept that to a point, but I think Celtic could and should still have made headway, or some sort of headway. And listen, they might blow us away in the next week. I'm not holding my breath on it. So do you think it is some excuse culture creeping in?
No, I think what he's trying to do is raise the bar, both in terms of what the recruitment team are doing and what the financial guys are approving. Because they'll be bringing in players, no doubt, and saying, oh, I've got this guy, we could probably get a deal across for that. And Rodgers is saying, that's not good enough. That's not the level we're at. Mm-hmm. You know the level we need for that. You know, I've got better already in the building for that position. You know, we don't need to spend any more money to get exactly where we are. So, no, I just think, unfortunately, it's a theme with Rodgers that he has to kind of try and wrest power. And it's, I don't mean that in a negative sense, but he's in a situation where Power's in the wrong place at the moment. Well, was, and I think it's now swung back towards him.
I just think it makes sense that at Celtic Park or at Lennox Town, the most knowledgeable football guy in the whole operation is Brendan Rodgers. Why would you not entrust him with any big moves that you're making?
Trust's an interesting word, Tino, you know. it really
trust is earned.
You know, if Brendan says it, it must be true. You know, because he is so trustworthy.
Got you. Just on that then, if you want to be snidey, there was a YouTube comment.
Well, that will continue.
We done a YouTube live at some point before the Rangers game on the 30th of December. And some fella, and I won't mention his name, it's not about that, but he actually wanted us to lose. He was saying that he wanted us to lose the game because it meant that Brendan Rodgers would potentially be quicker out the door. I can never buy into that. Surely that's madness, and I'd like to think there's not many folks with that type of opinion doing the rounds.
Ultimately, what I'm wanting to see is Rodgers, you know, get control so he can then be judged, but hopefully then to prove me wrong and show that he is in it for the long haul and he take us where we want to be. But that as of yet hasn't happened. Now there's been successes, yes, but I still don't think there was an excuse even with a new manager coming in for how underprepared we were for the season. I still don't think Rodgers replacing Ange is an excuse for that. You'll find excuses for not doing something if you don't want to do it.
But the problem started in Ange's last two transfer windows that they weren't Ange-led.
Yes,
you know, they were
absolutely.
Mark Lowell-led.
Yes.
That was building the problems that Rodgers was then walking ahead, didn't it?
That's fair enough.
I also think as well, though, that, I mean, I'm looking at Rodgers' last spell, and the way that Celtic are now operating is that they are building a squad for Europe. Now, I've probably said this last 3 months, and folk that have been in my inner circles talking about football are probably sick to death.
How'd you get in there, Joe?
Anyone, I think a lot about this now is about the homegrown stuff, about having homegrown players for Europe. Because, I mean, you think about now the Scottish players that we've got now compared to what we had when Rodgers was here at first. With Armstrong, with Brown, McGregor, with a fairly Griffiths, Tierney. I mean, five of those guys will start on our team now. We now are at the position where if we could easily sign a Araujo, they're talking about for a left back, like what are you saying, 3 million, 4 million. He's only going to be in any way useful if we get rid of a foreign guy that was in our squad for last year. That's why Welsh and Ralston have stayed on. It's a totally different.
But what are we saying? Are Celtic saying that if the talented Scottish guy isn't available, we'll just sign nobody?
I'm not saying that. I think that there is now a greater reliance in Celtic to develop what we already have. So I think the guys like Welsh, Celtic now have a vested interest to try and get the best out of Stephen Welsh. And they've got a vested interest, probably a lot of the reasons why Mikey Johnson's probably still there. It's a touchy subject in this show, I know. But I think there's a lot more stress in Celtic to actually get the most out of him, because realistically, a Marco Tilio is never going to get a chance because we can only have so many foreign players in that squad.
He would if he was better than Johnson, and he's not.
I agree, but also now you're like, he actually won't get a chance.
If Marco Tilio was Scottish, he'd probably play in front of Mikey Johnson. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah. It would at least it would be a free pass because we don't need. He's a homegrown player.
It's a tricky one. The homegrown rule's a funny one, and I think they're going to change it further, I believe, but it doesn't help clubs like Celtic.
The change isn't helping us as well.
I think it's going to really affect our transfer policy, though, because, I mean, we're now in a position where if we get rid of Turnbull, we've now basically lost a spot in our squad.
But can it be? You can only build a squad on quality. You've got to be led by quality. If there's two players there and one's better than the other and one's Scottish and one isn't, you go for the one that's better. Simple as that, no matter where they're from.
I do agree, but I think the pool's now so small.
You need to meet your quota some way. It means that you're jumping through hoops. It's not a great scenario for Celtic, but
any small country, it totally cripples you.
Yeah.
Miff's getting annoyed because we're not spending enough chat on Brendan Rodgers. I know you want to get back to that, so we'll do so. I mentioned the fact that, you know, the YouTube commenter there and a few others are still not best pleased, and I can understand that, you know, the way he left and everything else, but I think your approach is the right approach, Miff. You'll be glad to hear it. You know, you don't have to love Brendan Rodgers as a personality, but you can accept the fact that he's currently Celtic manager and he's doing a decent job at it.
Well, I mean, I believe I'm the only one of the four of us currently married, so you can love somebody and not like them.
You get new plans?
The current Mrs. Muffin would like it.
You can love somebody and not like them. You know, you go through stages of that. You go through stages of that. I'm talking about my missus for me rather than another.
You're tying yourself in knots.
These things happen. So if Rodgers is in and he does the job, brilliant, I'll be happier than MD, and I can assure you that. But as of yet, he's behind where we were last season, because he's out of Europe, he's out of the League Cup. You know, what is a measurement of success for Rodgers? Building a you know, are improving on the team this year, or progress this year, however that's measured, showing, getting his own players in for his squad to build for hopefully a European run next season. Would that be the case? So just win the league. Doesn't really matter about the cups. Just win the league. Is that what we're saying?
That was my priority coming into this season.
So that's how he'll be judged. What if he doesn't win the league?
It's a big
problem. I'm going to put that back because yous are all happy. What if he doesn't?
You lose your job. You should lose your job.
I agree.
If Celtic don't beat this Rangers side to the league, you should lose your job.
Yeah, somebody should. It shouldn't be Rodgers. It should be the recruitment team.
I think Celtic, without any recruitment, should still be capable of beating what's a limited Rangers side.
Do you like what I did there? I twisted it round. I've got these off fire.
So if Rodgers keeps his job post May, do we sell our season tickets next year if we don't win the league? That's ultimately the decision we're going to
take. And also that has affected board policy before. Now, I'm not saying that question to be negative, because I'm still I'm 100% behind the team and Rodgers and achieving the goal of winning the league. But the point is that, now, you might find this strange that I'm going to say that, but based on what we're seeing just now, I'm actually with James. Could you go and then sack Rodgers for not delivering on a squad, or with a squad that's actually... Rodgers needs help. He needs a backing to do it. So I just think we've created a wee bit of a guddle for ourselves when I don't think we had to. I thought the strategy was clear by bringing Rodgers back, that you were then going to back him with his players. Now, I think it's admirable that he's come out and said, we're not just got to bring bodies in because we've got plenty of them. And that's fine. I'll take him on his word at that, because I think that does genuinely make sense. Why would you go and just bring in more? You've still got McCarthy bringing in the bibs and the cones at the end of each training session, that, you know, and he's getting paid about 30 grand a week to do so. So there obviously has to be a balance contained within all that. But to me, what all this goes back to, and Rodgers is critical to this part, is the deficiencies in the squad have been debated on here for months. We all know them. There are people being paid very good money within Celtic to solve that, of which Rodgers is one of them, as well as the recruitment team, and they still haven't done it. And we're now in the last week of the second window and we still don't have them sorted. Now, that's just one issue at the club, when overall the support are like, yeah, brilliant, you know, you go to the games, you see Celtic winning, it's great. But there is a bigger picture here that we're trying to build to. And in order for Rodgers to be judged fairly, because, well, if the results don't go his way, if there's an injury to Greg Taylor or Joe Hart in the next 6 weeks, and then we go back to those dodgy results that we had in the autumn, we're all got to turn them.
Yeah, you're quite right. I mean, there's lots of ifs and buts here, don't get me wrong, but you're right. And at the bottom line is, James, there's a real opportunity, or there certainly has been a real opportunity here for Celtic as a club and as a recruitment team to get this right this window. You know, they failed in summer. Let's be blunt about it. There's a couple of successes. Palmer, Bernardo, maybe Yang, who knows? Yeah, on you go.
Just, we've got the Asia Cup in the...
Which we knew
was coming. Mm-hmm. We've still not got another striker.
Mm-hmm. If Kyogo gets injured in training tomorrow, we're in trouble.
You went down yesterday and you thought...
The solution seems to be it have stopped Vattel even. Is that...
I think that's bigger.
Is that where we're at? You know, I'm just saying, like, this is... I've probably hijacked this. It's maybe becoming less about Rodgers and more about stuff that we've already discussed in loads of detail. But the fact remains, are there Celtic fans out there that are just happy with where we are and the fact that there's been no forward planning around the Asian Cup? I just think it's mad. We're leaving ourselves wide open, and I think it's really harsh on Rodgers because he's just not been given the cover that he needs.
Yeah, I tell you what we'll do. You're getting a wee bit excited, and I know Brendan Rodgers does that to you. So we'll take a quick break and we'll return just shortly. Welcome back, folks. We've been discussing Brendan Rodgers' first 7 months back in the Celtic hot seat, Miff, with some interesting viewpoints. There's a couple of things that will certainly endear him, or have endeared him, to the support base in recent times, and it's some of his quotes, at least of all the ones from yesterday. So Celtic obviously didn't get an early VAR penalty decision after a bad went down, but James, it was because, of course, he was offside. So Brendan Rodgers says, quote unquote, "I think the frustrating one was the penalty one that was looked at. It shouldn't be looked at. It's offside. If it's offside, then the penalty doesn't even matter." Pause for effect. As we know. And clearly, Miff, it was a nod towards Rangers and the big issue that they were complaining about from the game on the 30th of December. And people can talk about Rodgers making these comments and, I don't want my manager doing that. It's exactly what I want my manager doing. I thought he played that perfectly yesterday.
Well, I think it's exactly what Brendan kind of needs to do to get everybody back on side. Same as driving down the London Road with the hand out there.
Going to help the fans back in the stands and all that.
Discovery and all that. Aye, aye, aye. So,
personal branding, I think they call it.
I must admit that was pretty decent.
Yeah. James, we've got a good mate. I won't mention him here in case I blow his cover, but he said that he's been firmly against Rodgers from the start. He's been quite outspoken, like you, Miffy. He's in a similar position, but he messaged us earlier on saying that he's now found himself in a position where he's A, defending Brendan Rodgers' team selection, and then revelling in his post-match interviews. He's really looking forward to it. Is that just what Brendan Rodgers does to you? Does he eventually get you?
He's a charming man, you know. That's part of his makeup. So yeah, we were saying earlier on, it's like a stone roses. You wouldn't fall in love with me immediately, but it's inevitable.
Very nice. Joe, there's another quote. I might as well do this at the same time. So after beating Rangers 2-1 New Year Derby on the 30th, he said, "Over my two spells here, I've worked against five Rangers managers, and every time Rangers were coming, every time at some point. So for me, it's normal. If I listened to the media and press, then we'd be in a constant crisis mode and in constant fear of Rangers." And I just think that's on point. He's reading the room. He knows it's well received, but he's also not telling any stories there. He's bang on with what he's saying.
I think what I like about it is that he's not coming across that he's trying too hard to appeal to the fans. And I think that maybe there's been an issue in the past. There's an issue, by the way, that he left that, like, Miff, who is one of many that probably aren't a big fan of him just now, and there's in some way he needs to build a bridge between the fans again. I think I don't think he's trying too hard to be that way. I think he is genuinely aware of what's going on, and he's aware of why the fans would sometimes be frustrated, or, you know, why, you know, he's sort of tapping into the way that they think. And I love it. I love it. The same way Ange was. But Ange was just doing it the way he was. Ange was just being normal.
I said recently, just talking about something Rodgers had said, I can't remember if it was talking about some individuals or whatever, but Miff, every time he sits in front of the press, he knows that his every word will be reported back on. And I think he just uses it quite smartly. You know, it's an opportunity to get messages across to supporters on some occasions, to players on other occasions, to board members and recruitment teams. And I just think every time he's given airtime, he uses it wisely, you know, with yesterday after the Bucky Thistle game being the most recent example. And I don't know how planned a comment like that was, but he's seen an opportunity and he used it well. And I'm not saying that's the key to him winning round supporters, whether it's yourself or others, but it doesn't do any harm, does it?
No, he's a savvy guy. And that's very apparent. I think probably the best part of him being back was his book being resurrected in the Christmas advert. I thought that was that was a particularly good touch. That was a good touch.
I think his comment also was somewhat towards, you're talking to the press there, and it's the press that kept the fire under that Ferrari for no reason for a good 10-12 days. So he's kind of saying, I see you as well, you know, keeping that going.
Just to back that up, I think that's where the comment about Rangers constantly coming comes from as well. Yeah. It's much the fact that it's the press who continually pander.
Yeah, he's talking to those individuals who are sitting right in front of him.
I think it's as much to do with that, as much as when you look at somebody like Ange, he was just so direct that he made the journalist uncomfortable because he would call it a stupid question or he would just skirt over it. Whereas with Rodgers, I think this is Rodgers version 2, letting the press know that, you know, I can see you.
He's been there before, though. And that's the thing. That's the beauty of him being in the job before. He has been here. And remember when he came in at first? I mean, Hugh Keevans was saying Rangers were going to win the league. I mean, honestly, like, that's what he was having to put up with.
From promotion.
Exactly.
And, you know, focal debate this statement. I think he's an elite manager. There's folk that have come into our comments, Twitter and YouTube and stuff, and argued against that, and that's fine. That's all good. I think he is at least top level, you know, to use that term. But I think he is elite. I think he's not in the Guardiolas and stuff like that. He's not in that world. But he's not too far down. He's a couple of levels down, but he's a top manager. And he's potentially as good as a club like Celtic could expect to get. And I just think he just carries himself well. You know, a lot of folk still haven't bought back in after how he exited. But I just think, you know, to re-stress, he's using these opportunities PR-wise to win round fans, players, colleagues, board members and press who are sitting in front of him. But to Joe's point, he's been knocked since he came in the door at Celtic. From day one, people have doubted him and he's continued to defy. I mean, yesterday's a good example. He's never lost a game in the Scottish Cup. He's played 13, he's won 13. It's pretty impressive, and quotes are all good, Miff, but you've got to back it up in the park. And for the most part, as Celtic manager, Brendan Rodgers has done that.
Yeah, he has. It's obviously different circumstances now that he's back. The nature of his exit meant that this season was always going to be intriguing. I just felt at the start of the season it was a bit off, but that was probably me and how I personally felt, not only at Rodgers returning, but also at Ange leaving as well. Yeah, you know,
double whammy.
But when you look back and you think, hey, what a great day the treble winning day was, you also kind of knew something was going to happen, and you had it in the back of your mind, and it just created that uncertainty as to the season to come. But Rodgers coming back did bring that stability. The early season form was pretty good. I think the European run culminated in the squad being weak, and then the post-Europe results not being great is what's led us to be in that position where we're starting to look back at things and go, well, bit of blaming the board, bit of blaming Rodgers, some of the decisions that were made, you know, subs at the Hearts game, Bernabe came on, we're chasing a goal, things of that nature don't look great. But if the squad's not there, you can argue manager's not been back, Asian Cup coming. Have we covered for that? I would say no. But there's still a week left in the window. I think if we sign 2-3 players, get a few out, we'll be in a strong position. The emergence of Bernardo, you know, if you look at individual players, have certain individual players got better? I would say yes. Some maybe haven't kicked on as we would have hoped. Changing systems maybe affected that. But if you look at, I don't know, if you look at Scales, O'Reilly,
yep,
McGregor, Bernardo,
Welsh,
you know, Welsh, Maeda, you know, individual players have all increased their kind of output. So, listen, we know Rodgers is a good coach, and I do concede.
Elite coach.
Good. That for a club like Celtic, based on who was available, I think there was a guy come on as well, the boy used to manage Monaco. But I think he was as good as we could have got in the summer. But as I said before, I am a bitter lover.
and
the fact that I've been spurned, you know, I'll take a bit.
You will remain spurned for a while.
Just yet. Give me the time. Give me a bit of time.
James, just as we start kind of round this bit of the chat up, you can't discount the fact that taking over from Ange, huge personality, elite manager, genuinely elite manager, very hard to do. So he's taken over a treble winning side. So the only way is down almost, isn't it? It's, you know, unless you repeat the treble, you're on to plums kind of thing. Albeit we know the league's the most important thing. But he's fallen on a treble. He's not been backed in the summer. He's had injuries to key players, and I think he's navigated that pretty well. His record against Rangers, which he's obviously backed up with 2 wins this season, has played 15. He's won 12, drawn 2, and lost just 1, which is just an incredible record. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, for all the noise off the park, it comes down to results. And I think his results stack up. I think that's just the bottom line. Europe not great, and we can look at that next year. But in terms of the here and now and what he's inherited, I think it's a pass mark and then some.
I mean, I'm long on record as saying I didn't take my 3-match package for Europe because of what the recruitment team didn't do in the summer. It was inevitable. You know, I think we did well to get as many points as we did, given how poor the recruitment team were. So I've kind of got to give Rodgers a pass for that because, what you know, see when you're going from what we play every week to get into Europe, the jump is so vast. And if you're not going to beef up your squad for that level, or at least try and bridge the gap, like I say, inevitable. The big ones for me were the 2 Rangers games so far. He was written off in the first one because we weren't ready and blah, 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 and this and all that stuff.
Completely written off by everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And on the second one, they were riding high and they're, you know, going to do this, that, and the next thing, it's going to be a cricket score and blah, blah, blah. And the rubber hit the road. And Rodgers showed them exactly what he's made of.
You'll do nothing, he said.
up the road. And that's why they went on for 10 days about absolutely, you know, a nothing decision.
Yeah, because straws.
Because reality smacked them in the face. And that's just it. So Rodgers gave them that reality check. So taking that is just part of it. I'm delighted about what he's doing.
Yeah, I've got to be. Last question then, general question to all three of you. So he signed in a 3-year deal. And he says, what's the chat? Unless I'm emptied,
he told me to my face.
Aye, that's right, you were there. So he told James specifically that he's going to be here for 3 years. So let's see how that goes. Miff certainly has his doubts on that. But what's the target now?
I was laughing at the still game one. And it cut to Winston, member Steve at the bookie. Like, you were going to do that again, weren't you? Because he kind of paused when he says, well, you'll just need to wait and see that I'm still here at the end. It cuts to Winston. You were going to do that again, weren't you?
So all going well, he will remain here for 3 years, so time will tell on that one. But the question is to you lads, what's the target now? So in the immediate term, winning the league, absolutely, and the qualification for the Champions League that comes with that, so, so important this time around. But then what? So that's a shorter term goal. I'll come to you first, Joe. What's medium term for Brendan Rodgers? What does he need to achieve within that 3 years if he stays for that?
I think amongst fans it's quite cloudy just now because Europe's changing in terms of the format. I mean, it's not as simple as just saying, oh, we'll finish third in those group, because it doesn't work like that anymore. Mm. I think it's a combination of, depends what we get in Europe. If we're looking at on paper, how many points are we going to get? Again, it's eight different teams you play as well now. Yeah. So, but win the league, win the cup. Try and hold on to your best players for another season, because you want to have some way of building on your squad. There needs to be some sign of progression. Mm-hmm. If we're starting from scratch again like we are this year, we're well in the summer, like with Jota leaving, you know, there's no sign of, no yeah. real measure.
If you lose Matt O'Reilly and Carter Vickers, for example, when there's chat about those two, it leaves you behind the curve.
One. So yeah. I think there needs to be, that's really key for Rodgers in terms of making his squad better. And then, yeah, it's just about winning the league after that. And Europe, as I say, it's a really hard sort of to understand exactly what a target is for Europe, because we've never actually been in that position before.
Yeah, this new format is going to be really interesting and I think really exciting. As Joe mentions here, you play eight games against eight different teams, four at home, four away, but it's not the same team that you play home and away. That in itself will bring an interest, and you know, this is touchwood that we make it, of course, but interesting to see who we match up against. There'll be teams that we've not faced before, and there's a bit of variety in there, and I think that in itself could be quite exciting. But from Joe's point of view, it's the unknown. You know, what's the target? Used to be finish third and maybe try and finish second and squeeze in. What now, Miff? You've potentially got eight games. How do you gauge progress on that basis?
I think it's quite simple, based on the draws that have been served up in Europe at Champions League level, going back a fair number of years. I think it's just going back to basics and winning games at Celtic Park, winning Champions League games at Celtic Park. I think that's a short or a medium-term target, that when we return to, or we go back into the Champions League or into the new format of the Champions League, we should be looking to win at least two of those four home games, for example, because we haven't been getting that. Now, if you end the campaign and you've won two out of eight games and you've managed to pick up some points elsewhere, based on what's been happening before, that is progress. Mm. So I don't think we can go from barely winning a game at home for however many years. I know, obviously, the Firenode game, we've done that. But to not consistently be not winning games, if we can go back where we're regularly beaten, taking good scalps at home, and that's then given us a chance when we go to the away games, that if you can pick something up, you can maybe get close to doing something, getting out of groups, etc., qualifying for the next round. So, you know, but the margins are so small. We've seen that very close to a decent result against Lazio, which would have probably put us psychologically in a different position in the group. After that, all kind of went downhill. It just makes such a difference if you can make those home games count. So for me, that would be the target that I would be focusing on. That's how I'll be judging it. And I sincerely hope we're able to do something, because we've went so long. You know, certainly myself, James, Tino, obviously Joe, absolutely kills me how young we are. But for us, we do remember a time when a team of players, maybe, you know, not carrying the same level of quality throughout the squad as we've got just now, were beating teams at Celtic Park and, you know, AC Milan, etc. So there's no reason why we can't put together a decent enough squad that can hope to achieve that. Now, since then, has the gulf got bigger between those at the top table and us? Possibly. Yeah. But James made an excellent point. We do have the capability, if we wish, to spend, to, for one season, roll the dice. Because let's be honest, if you roll the dice and get the quality in beforehand, you've always got to be able to sell them on. What's roll the dice, get decent players in and give yourself the chance.
If you keep doing what you've done, you'll always get what you get kind of thing. Sort of get what you got, past tense. Mixed all that up, but you know what I'm saying, James?
Eloquent.
And we just...
So I need money in intros.
Cheers, Murph. We just need to try something different because what we've been doing for the last, at least the last decade, hasn't been working and there needs to be change. I'll come to James for his final comments. Was there something you wanted to chip in with, Joe?
What I was going to say about in Europe as well, what I think the different this landscape now is that A, there's no sort of fallback to Europa League. You're either in the Champions League or you're out of Europe. So that also makes things so much more difficult in terms of setting targets because you're either making it, you're not making it. Secondly, I think given there's so many games and qualification is hard, I think it's the top eight qualify for the last 16 and then the next 16 teams play a playoff to fill the remainder of the last 16.
Yeah.
Every game for a big team is now a must win. So you think if we're playing this four-team group format, I mean, let's face it, if Man City have got us at home in the last game in their group, they're not really going to bother. Now they're wanting to finish as high up in that table as possible. So it's going to become a lot harder. As I say, it's a lot harder to get objectives, but it's a much harder route into getting into European football after Christmas.
Yeah. James, your final comments. So we've kind of gone a wee bit off-piste more into the European stuff, but your final comments on Brendan Rodgers 7 months on?
Just the one thing I would say about the sticking with European for a second is we need to grow up as a club and as a company.
As for?
No, that'll never happen. That ship has sailed. But, you know, we're still sitting here going, you know, let's try something different. What, by buying players that can win you games? That's crackers. Mm. We need to grow up in that regard. Spend the money you've got. You're running the business well. We know that. But then also, longer term, I think we really need to look at what is going on at the youth set up. If it is going to be so important for the homegrown talent as part of the new format and stuff, what is going on that players are coming through in such small numbers and with massive gaps between their breakthroughs? So, and I think Rodgers will be interested in that. He's always enjoyed working with youth and bringing them through.
And we will get to that in detail. So we've got a listener's question concerning that area. So we'll get to that.
But as for Rodgers himself, yeah, it's just about, you know, to Matt's point, back him. And you'll see what you can do. Simple as that.
Yeah, I think so. So it's a debate that will rumble on, Miff, but I think, you know, some of the recent results, recent performances, and some of the recent quotes, to be fair, well, I've got a number of guys back on side, but he's not fully there. So let's see what happens between now and the end of the season. We'll take a quick break, and when we return, Joe will be giving us this week's Mystery Cell. Welcome back, folks. It's now time for this week's Mystery Cell, which is brought by Joe. But hold on, Joe. I see you're poised. Before we do, we'll take a quick look at last week's Mystery Cell, which was provided by James. Miff, did you get this one last week?
No, I had to spoon feed you with the extra clues. Right.
The answer to that is, yes, I did.
Okay, I'll give you a quick reminder of the clues. So I played for four teams out with Celtic, including FC Twente and Rapid Vienna. Clue number two, I was capped 19 times for my country. You did give us a couple of bonus clues, James, and I'll use one of them because it was a really good clue. I've scored at least two of your favourite Celtic goals in the last 16 years. Do you want to tell us the goals and then we'll get the answer?
The last minute against Rangers.
2008.
Yeah.
Ivan Heather.
And then the United won the league.
Yeah. So the answer, of course, was Jan Venegård of Hesling. Miff, your quick thoughts and comments on the former Celtic striker.
Love them. Yeah. Absolutely love them. Great. Genuine. One of those rare times when we needed a striker and we bought a really good striker.
It's a mad concept, isn't it?
And his turn of Rio Ferdinand and finish at Old Trafford remains one of my favourite ever Celtic goals. Yep. Absolute quality.
Yeah, and obviously scored that header against Dundee United that won the title for Tommy 2008. Joe, have you any memories of Jan Venegård before we get your own
man? Back in the day when I couldn't get Caller and my Celtic Top sponsor, it was the wee guy, Celtic Tops. I was never going to ask my dad to get that my name in the back.
My dad told me about Jan Venegård. my great uncle used to talk about
I remember Venegård at Hessling, to be fair. He was always, £50 to get him in the back of your top. And it was just...
Okay, Joe, we'll kick on with this week's Mystery Cell. You know the deal, three clues and we'll try and name the former player. What have you got?
So, I was capped twice for my country, both in qualifying matches.
Okay.
Nothing here.
It's like in a catchphrase where they reveal the square in the top right. You're just getting nothing there. What's Mr. Chips doing, Miff? Next one, Joe.
I have played in France, Tunisia, Spain, Portugal, Japan and Scotland. One of these nations I represented at international level.
Jeez, well, hold on a minute. France,
Tunisia, Spain, Portugal,
Japan, Scotland. And Scotland. Dino's doing his work.
Right. Okay. No idea. So
I told you it was going to be hard.
The fact that he's got two caps as qualifiers is tough.
Anything jumping out? Miff, your blank expression, as always.
Mark Rosas is the first person.
Next one, Joe. Next clip, final clip.
I was signed by Neil Lennon in 2012 and scored 3 goals in total for Celtic.
Larry Nguemo, no.
Joss Heufeld.
I've no idea.
I told you it's going to be a hard one. I told you.
This is a no get one.
I'm looking for hard but achievable. for us, if not for the people at home.
Bunch of dead air.
Scored 3 goals for Celtic, I thought.
Three goals? That's not a lot.
I've nothing at all. Miff, anything?
Three more than me.
Anything at all from you?
From Paris.
No, I'll
no, this is one of the young team in Noma. Yeah. The young team.
Any bonus clues in there, Joe? No, if you haven't got it, don't make it easy.
So what we'll do, we'll get the answer at the end of the show. How do you want to reveal it now?
I think it's got bleeped out.
We'll get it bleeped out. Just tell us because we're nagging here.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's getting that. As always, what we'll do, we'll post the clues.
You never know. Maybe chuching is it.
We'll post the clues on social media and we'll reveal the answer in next week's show. Remember, if you want to set the mystery sealed for a future episode, just get in touch via Twitter and you could be the one providing the clues next time around. Final section this week is the listener's question, as always, and this week's question comes from Michael Murphy via Twitter, so we'll play that just now.
Time to give the young players some opportunities and have young Frame as Taylor's backup, for example. It's really the only way we'll know if we can make it at the club. That comes with risk. However, if we as fans want to see the next McGregor, KT, then I believe it's a risk we must take.
So in short, is it time to give our academy players opportunities in the first team? Obviously yesterday, James, we've seen Rocco Vatta and Daniel Kelly made his debut, so they get minutes against Bucky Thistle, all good there. Rocco Vatta gets his goal. Mitchell Frame, who we've spoken about in recent shows, he got a cameo against Feyenoord, albeit a dead rubber, but that's a big game for a young 17-year-old to step into. And 5 academy players actually finished the game v Bucky, so it was Vatta, Kelly, Stephen Welsh, Mikey Johnson, Tony Ralston. But what's your initial response to Michael's question?
I mean, yes is the straight answer. Yes, we do need to see youth, but it's all about balance. You know, Paddy's long on record saying that it's really difficult at Celtic because you've got to win every game. There's no, you know, give 3 youngsters a chance and we'll see how they get on and they'll learn from a you know, draw or a defeat. That's just, it's not possible for Celtic. So we need to win the games first and foremost. But we do need to get these guys game time, I agree. And I thought yesterday was a perfect example of it. Get the game secured, give the boys some game time. Mitchell Frame, probably something similar. Albeit we were still, both teams were still pushing to win that game and he was involved in the goal, so great. Kind of surprised that he's, you know, disappeared a wee bit since then. I thought he would have played yesterday.
There's a suggestion he might be injured. Somebody else was looking into it and he might be unavailable, which would explain a lot because I think common sense would have seen him play just given the lack of opportunities at left back.
I thought we'd have seen him simply because there's every chance we're not going to sign another left back in the window. We need to know if we've got one in Mitchell Frame. So I think if you look at those 3 players, to Joe's point, Vata's situation is a wee bit different. There's a lot of politics going on there and, you know, pushing and pulling and stuff like that. So if you just maybe look at Kelly and Frame and guys like getting their minutes, that's how it's got to be. And then if you perform within those minutes and you're performing in training, you're maybe going to get yourself ahead of, we'll say it's Taylor or Kyogo or whoever kind of thing, you're going to get rewarded. And Rodgers has long shown that he rewards players that perform both on their games and their training.
Yeah, he does. Miff, I'll take your initial response. My apologies, it was from Martin Murphy. I've said it's Mick Murphy. I don't know who Mick Murphy is, but he's not asked us any questions this week, but Martin Murphy has submitted this one. So your initial response to Martin's question?
My initial response is that yes, like James says, we should be given more of an opportunity to our academy products. The reason being is that if you don't catch the academy product at the right time, they can often then dwindle. What I mean by that is, if a player goes through Celtic's academy and gets to the point where they are training with the first team, they must have shown that they have the requisite ability to do so.
Yep.
It then possibly might come down to mindset, training, how well they're looking after themselves and all those things. Because we know the scourge of being young in Scotland often means that you'll get derailed and maybe have other interests outside of football that don't go hand in hand with being a professional footballer or an elite athlete. Opportunity is the key thing, because I've been involved in grassroots football myself. What I do see is loads of prodigiously talented, you know, kids, boys playing football, and there's levels within levels, even at the top. level, and I know you guys are involved in football as well, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, many times you've played with somebody that you've heard of, maybe played with Stenhouse Muir and, you know, maybe lower league teams, and then you see them at training, they're absolutely unbelievable. These kids have come through an absolutely hellish journey just to be kept on through under 16s, 17s, 18s and 21s football.
It's cutthroat.
Right? Mm-hmm. So they're there. They've actually won such a huge battle and been there. They're in the 1 or 2% that will make it from the start of the initial intake that they had into football. But if you don't get presented with an opportunity and you're maybe 19 years old and you're thinking, right, I could sign another contract here, but ultimately I'm not going to play any football. And then you go and you move to, and I mean this with the greatest of respect, Aretha or Dunfermline or whoever, where you don't have the surroundings that you had when you were at Celtic Park, when you were at Lennox Town, when you were at Barfield or whatever, it can be disheartening. Mm-hmm. And then you feel like you've not made it, and all that effort you've put in, it turns you away. Very, very few kids actually bounce down and go back up. You know, there's a story, Andy Robertson, and fair play to him, because he used that as his fuel to go back up. But I'd say it's far more common. A lot more kids do drop down and then stay at a level well below of where they were at Celtic. The one that sticks out to me is Marcus Fraser, who was very unlucky.
Exactly.
Very unlucky with any injury. Very unlucky with any injury. He got into the first team. It was excellent. A European game, a Europa League home game, I think it was against Rennes. It was excellent. And then he got a really bad knee injury after that. And Lennon had been using him. And then he just, when he came back for the injury, you know, that opportunity, he's given his opportunity. Injury happens. And then he's went on to have a stellar career. You know, he was a stalwart for Ross County. He's now playing with St Mirren and still remains a very good SPL defender. You know, guys like Forrest, guys like Ralston. I mean, Ralston, we would have written off until Ange got back. I think he would have been in his way out the door. But guys like Ralston, guys like Forrest, guys like McGregor have shown they've been given opportunity, you know, and even think back to McGregor going out on loan at Notts County. Another key thing, you know, getting the right loan move to showcase your talents to then come back. Christopher Ayer, I know he was purchased, but he was purchased at 16. He was sent out on loan at Kilmarnock, come back in. So there's probably better ways in which we can manage these youngsters to give them that opportunity and the opportunity to happen at the right time. Just now, for whatever reason, there's a huge disconnect between players getting to a certain level within the academy and then getting the right opportunity at the right time within the first team to show that they can then be part of the squad. Very rarely are we even getting players sticking about and being part of the squad for a couple of seasons. They're kind of getting into the squad, maybe making one, two appearances and then gone.
Yeah.
Can you truly say those kids have been given a proper opportunity? I take the point that they need to win games, but in how many seasons at the past, you know, take away the COVID season, has it really been that tight towards the end of the season? We couldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. It's not. So for me, there's a disconnect between us allowing these kids to showcase their talents, to show that they maybe merit staying on to be part of a squad for a couple of years, and what's happening currently.
The biggest factor, and you used the word several times, Miff, is opportunity. There's only so much you can do in training. There's only so much you can do playing for a B team in the Lowland League. You need to be given a chance, and at that point you can say, good enough or not. How many guys even have Celtic signed to the first team? Forget youth for a second. First team players Celtic have signed in various windows, and you've barely even seen them to make a judgment. You know, guys that have come in, I think guys like Patrick Klamala and others like that, you've seen a few appearances, but not enough really, and then they go. Paolo Bernardo's a decent example. If he hadn't sprung to life in the last 3-4 games there, he could have gone back to Benfica this window and you would never have missed him. But you get the chance to play, and at that point you can prove yourself or not. You know, these guys will put in minutes, and you can then make a fair judgment and say, do you know what, he's actually capable, or he's surprised me, or he's impressed me in different ways. But if you don't get that opportunity, Miff, and yes, you need a huge slice of luck, you need to stay injury free, you need the various things to go for you in terms of, you know, the coaches that are around you. But ultimately, Joe, without opportunity, none of these kids can prove themselves. So when is the right time for Daniel Kelly, Rocco Vatta, Mitchell Frame, and anyone else you care to mention?
Well, on to Miff's point, I mean, there's a lot of factors at play here that we do need to win every week, right? If you're going to to Miff's example, but Dunfermline or Raith Rovers, there is less pressure because they've got less money to spend. There's less expectation that they need to win the league or they need to finish in a certain position, that they don't need to look elsewhere. Celtics, I think it's bigger than just opportunity. I honestly don't think the players are producing good enough. We're not producing them in enough volume. How many players have you seen really from Celtic that were tipped to be the next big thing and have went on to be bigger than Celtic?
I've produced a striker since Mark Burchill.
So, and before that is Jerry Craney.
Yeah.
So if you think of all the guys that have been tapped to be the next big thing, we've had Islam Firouz,
Karamoko Dembele,
Karamoko Dembele, who is, you know, he's doing okay. He's not above Celtic's level. No. He's not as if he's went on and like set hell. Like Ben Doak is probably one of the few.
He might be.
Mikey was hugely touted.
So you think it's a quality thing, Joe? Not enough good players coming through?
I think there comes a point we need to look at that, because I mean, as much as the guys that have produced, I mean, there's a lot of luck involved, as you say. All it takes is for the guy in front of you to be injured, and then that's, I mean, I'd imagine at 16, 17's level they probably carry two in every position. That's a lot of your luck is going to have to based in, you know, how fit the guy is in front of you. So it's I think that's a quality thing.
There's quite a lot of sliding doors moments across these young careers in terms of if the guy in your position happens to get injured. You know, Rocco Vatta's played there yesterday because Celtic haven't signed enough strikers, is the bottom line, and he's been given an opportunity then. I've not seen enough of Rocco Vatta to say he's good enough or not, but the argument may be the fact that if he was really good, if, as it's going to sound really harsh, Daniel Kelly, Mitchell Frame, Ben Summers, all these kids that are around, if they were really, really good, they might have got more minutes. So Brendan Rodgers, to Joe's point, just quickly, if Brendan Rodgers... You just have to win every game at Celtic. It's the bottom line. League Cup, Champions League, League, whatever it might be. There's very few opportunities. Yesterday against Bucky was one of them, but there's very few opportunities where you can risk losing points, because you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You imagine you rest your top striker, you play this kid, and you get anything but a win. You're in trouble.
Absolutely. You know, as far as Vatt's concerned, a lad if Craig Nook wearing short sleeve T-shirt and stretch gloves. I've not seen that combo. But you know, looking at him yesterday, he's doing all the right things in terms of movement.
He's hit the gym.
He's put muscle on, all the right things in terms of movement that you'd want off a striker. A couple of times yesterday, actually, the rarely spotted Celtic striker getting ahead on a corner. He was quite close to doing a couple of times as well. So I think in someone like Vatta, this is the thing. We as fans can be quite snobby about that as well. You know, we've just spoken about the squad not being strengthened. But then that does present its chance to somebody like Rocco Vatta. If he goes on there, he scored yesterday, and then if the same thing happens in maybe a league game, if he does the same against County, brilliant, that's great. Then it starts to build to, right, okay, we've got something here that we can work with. And he starts to get more game time, more minutes. Still doesn't absolve the fact that we do need another striker in to support him and Kyogo. But circumstances like this do present that opportunity. You think back to somebody like Tony Watt, come on at Fir Park, scored a couple of goals. Great, that, you know, you've took your chance, right, you're in the squad for the next game, then you start a few games, and then that ended up rolling on into 2012 when he scored that goal against Barcelona. So for those kids, being presented with opportunity is the main thing. You know, Mitchell Frame, you would argue he took his opportunity when he was given it against Farnwood. However, he's not been seen since.
I also think as well, though, and again, I'm looking at football from a wider sense, and I'll bring back transfers again, right, but we don't produce as many players as... much, even as your elite clubs. I mean, Real Madrid are still bringing guys through. Barcelona are bringing guys through. Man United are playing youth players in their team. Now, I think the financial fair play thing comes into it a lot here, because we sign players for 2 million and we sell them for, at best, at very best, 30, but we're making a massive profit on it. We can afford to go out and spend, continue that model, because we're working within our regulations. If you look at Man United could probably make a loss. So there comes a point when it comes to January, we're thinking, do you know what, we can't go and spend 100 million in somebody gets injured.
That's what's happening.
Man United are absolutely honking.
They are all over the place. Yeah. But do you know, bizarrely, Man U, huge club, they can also lose a few league games and it doesn't matter. You know, it's not the end of the
expected.
World. They can now, because they're in this weird world where top four is success, whereas Celtic is top one or bust, that's the thing. Listen, what I'll do, I'm trying to keep it quite tight time-wise on this section, but to put the kind of question to you is quite pointedly, I'll come to you first, James. What can Celtic do to prevent this lack of game time, or more positively, to present further opportunity or pathways for these kids?
I think Joe, you know, made a really good point that the level needs to be better. I'd make an argument that potentially the level between Vatta yesterday and his movement and what we see from O, I don't know if it's that big a gap. So, you know, we need a better body of evidence to judge on.
Bigger sample required, but yeah.
But, you know, he's only going to get it if he gets his chance. So I would probably stick to my initial point that it's the balance of things. It's get the game secured and start to give guys minutes. And when they perform and show they can be relied upon, then they can get to start games and all that kind of stuff. It's the only way. It's too risky otherwise.
We don't have enough time to cover Tom English's snidey wee tweet.
I would do.
Well, let's do it. He was basically bemoaning the fact, or trying to be a wee bit snarky about the fact that Celtic, quote unquote, had no young homegrown players starting for Celtic today. That's fine. It's factually was correct, but he then failed to mention that five academy players finished the game. You know, he doesn't come back out and tweet about that. So that's just a journal looking for an angle and looking to play that game. But Miff, just to round off this section though, same question, you know, what can be done to provide further opportunity for these kids?
Play them.
But when?
Whenever you can, whenever you feel, you know, if they've made it, that's my point about them making to that, they've made it to that level for a reason.
Mm.
They must be entrusted so with minutes at some point, because if you don't, then you'll never know. I completely accept the point about quality, but a lot of kids have left the door with zero opportunity based on possibly an academy coach's view on them and not the manager of the football clubs. That's the nature of modern day football, and I get that and understand it, but surely then the key to that is then creating opportunity. How you do it, I don't know, but that's the key for me.
How many players, you know, have you produced over the last, say, even 10 years? Hundreds, right? How many can you point to and say that's the one that got away? Ben Doak, is that it?
I think Ben Doak might be the outlier there. Just take the last decade, just in isolation. There's nobody that's got away. You've thought, geez, we could have done with having him back.
Potential the boy that's at Wigan on loan, by the boy Morris in the centre half.
He's playing the same team as Jordan Jones.
Aye, but he's still regarded as somebody that's got potential. He's not reached his ceiling yet.
Yeah, we'll need to see. But listen, it's a great question from Martin. It's actually one we could, and maybe we'll spend a special episode on at some point in the near future, because there's so many different factions and different kind of areas to cover in terms of, you know, what the solution might be for these kids. But great question from Martin. Thanks to him for sending that in. If you want to send your question in for discussion on next week's show, then you can do so in one of a few ways. Firstly, you could send us a DM on Twitter at Celtic Exchange. Secondly, leave a voice clip by clicking the icon on the bottom right of any page of our website at thecelticexchange.com. And finally, email me directly on tino@thecelticexchange.com. Lads, time has run away from us, as it always does. So I'll come to you now for your final comments. James, I'll start with you.
You're really good. We had to get back to the swing of things yesterday, and that just sets us up for Ross County. So it's a really important week. We've got, you know, no midweek game. Our rivals do. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the high Bs, and then we go on to Ross County for the weekend and keep the ball rolling.
Is Quan playing anywhere this week?
You love Quan, don't you?
Keen to see.
Apparently play well.
Man of the match on Saturday for St Mirren.
Love that Quan.
Content. Oh, dear, oh dear. The youth is provided again. Joe, your own final comments.
Just to James' point, delighted. Not even just the one that just did its back. I can't be bothered with the winter break. It's just always about...
No winter break next year.
Yes,
yeah, I've seen that. So I've got my Celtic back, which I'm delighted about. But yeah, big game next week. Back to proper business, and you know, hopefully there'll be a wee result on Wednesday night that'll go our way. But you know, it's all about Celtic, and you know, we'll see what the next few weeks bring.
Yeah, really important game against Ross County. That's Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff at Celtic Park. Quantent, Miff, I love it. I wish I could claim it as my own, but I can't.
Filthy Quantent.
Miff, final word goes to you.
Yeah, well, County game's a big game just to keep that momentum going. Derek Adams seems to be digging a massive hole for himself up there. And,
ridiculous.
That's, you know, worth a show.
Aye.
Derek Adams.
Happy just to let him continue doing that, because that'll probably work to our benefit when we play them at the weekend. So, like the lad said, brilliant that Celtic are back. Feels like there is a bit of positive momentum building. A couple of required signings would only add to that, I feel. So let's hope the board and the recruitment team do their bit to help the manager and the squad, who have worked very, very hard to give us the lead that we've got this season.
Yeah, and didn't want to spend too much, if any, time dwelling on the transfer stuff just now. There's very little to report on since last week in the chat about Nicholas Coon, but we'll certainly pick it all up next week when we reach that deadline.
Of course, you can just give your manager a quick phone if you need to know anything.
So, are we going to...
For us, Anthony.
We'll do an Anthony Joseph.
Are we going to do our 1st of February... Yep, yep. Morning here on fire session.
Correct. You've got Spearsy, you can get a phone as well.
Me and Joe
just need to check to well.
Correct. So that wraps things up on this latest episode of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. Thanks to James, Joe and Miff for joining me, and our thanks to you for tuning in. We'll be back later in the week with the countdown to kick-off ahead of Saturday's game against Ross County at Celtic Park. But in the meantime, as always, thanks for supporting the Celtic Exchange, and we'll see you again very soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.